You're a hustler. You're a hustler. You're a hustler.
Yeah. Of course. Look, anybody... Okay. If you don't understand it now, don't feel bad. You hold on a while. Maybe you'll get it as we go along. We'll ramify a little more. Okay. Now, so what I'm saying is, I really think that's the source. I don't know where the Ram got it from. I think that's the source. The only thing is it arrived at held that, okay, it's a nice kina, but he didn't take it seriously, halachically. The Rambam took it actually seriously. That it means she exists, Zachar Yerushalayim, she has a memory. She remembers Yidei Ma'ah Kol Machamudel, she doesn't make Adam, but now she doesn't have it. But she's still here. The Kedush Yerushalayim is here. So now what I'm saying is, the only way that it can exist, though, you can speak of a city existing in abstract, without a substratum, is only because it still relates to man. The ideas of the city still relate to man. But these ideas of the city can only relate to man if in the future man is going to have the city again. She's going to come back, and then she's going to be reestablished again. So now I could talk about her past, I could talk about her future. She has to relate to man. So she exists during the interim. She still exists during the interim. How does she exist? She exists. I think about the way she was and the way she's going to be. So actually she exists for man right now. But the thing is this. That's why, as a matter of fact, I'll show you something interesting. On Tisha B'Av, you have two themes. What are two themes of Tisha B'Av? There's two themes on Tisha B'Av. There's a theme of the Churban HaBayis, and there's also a theme of what?
Of Nechama.
There's a theme of Nechama. Why do you have Nechama for? Tisha B'Av, I would say, should be absolute Churban without a trace of Nechama. As a matter of fact, that's what Eicha really is. What did Eicha say? Eicha at the beginning, Eicha yesh v'deir basi yam ha'isa ka'amana. Basi b'goyim, sarasi b'mdinois, ha'isa l'mas. Bacho sitzke b'layla v'dim asa alecheya. It means when a person's tear is on their cheek, it means that they're like Rashi, it's a constant process of crying, they can't even wipe their cheek off. It means to say, it says, Ein lo menachem mikol le'yaveh. There's no nechama. It means the depth of despair, where there's nothing. There's nothing. When a person, no matter what tragedy a person has, they always look for some kind of a light. But over here, there's no light. That's what Eicha is describing. So Tanchum shouldn't be part of Tisha B'Av. So why is nechama part of Tisha B'Av? As a matter of fact, in Halacha it says, you're not allowed to learn those parts that, in Yirmiyahu to deal with nechama. You're only allowed to learn the parts that deal with tragedy.
Right?
Right. So that's the case. So it's tied to the sanctuary. So why should Nechama be part of Tisha B'Av? So what's the answer? The answer is because there is no ear without Nechama. Because if the city's not coming back, then she's gone. So then there's no Churban, there's nothing to talk about anymore. It's over. So you must have Nechama. It's actually, Tisha B'Av is intrinsically, really, Churban and Nechama. Must have both. But the only thing is that people aren't going to notice both. So what they did was, they divided the day in half to demonstrate, and you're supposed to feel the tragedy to the nth degree, so therefore, they divided till Chatzos is Churban, and after Chatzos, there's manifestations of Nechama. But the truth of the matter is that those two themes of Churban and Nechama are bound together logically. They're inseparable. Because without the Nechama, there's no Churban. What are we talking about the Churban for? Talk about the history, something in the past. Doesn't matter. Who cares? The city, in order for the city to exist, you must have Nechama. You must speak about the future, about it being built. You see? Okay? Now... The thing is, so really, what are the two themes of the Churban? Churban Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So one theme is the city. The city, the Kedusha of the Shekhinah, the Kedusha of the city. How the city reacted to the state of being of the city. That's the whole. As a matter of fact, if you look at Eicha, it doesn't really, even though it talks about the tragedies, but it doesn't really talk about
It's not like a person like they look at Chalons on any tragedy that happened to the Holocaust. I mean, you see the films. That is tragedies. That hits a person. But here, you don't see the descriptions too much. Not too much. Okay, it tells you day nashim rachmanias bishlu yavdei. You know, it tells you certain things. It says basami la'achzo, but it doesn't give too much description of personal tragedies. You know what I mean? It doesn't. Why? Because the personal tragedies I'm mentioning really are only insofar as it partakes of the city. It's talking about the Kedusha Shechina that was destroyed, not the individual people. I'm not talking about the individual people. Okay? It's not really a hesped on the individual sufferings of the people. Today, people are only into that. That's what they're into. They're into the personal tragedies. Of course, they can identify with personal tragedies, and emotionally they can understand it in some way. So it's interesting to their emotions, capture their emotions. But really, Yirmiyahu wasn't writing such a thing. He was writing an idea of a churban, of an ear, a city that reflected HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he was writing about, a certain type of churban, a certain type of city, a city which was an entity, a metaphysical entity of a very unique kind of city. That's why the person was only there insofar as it is a component of the situation of the city, but not for the personal per se. It's for the shechina of the kedushas Yerushalayim that Yirmiyahu is talking about. He's not talking about personal tragedies. Personal tragedies is everything altogether. It's not his area.
Let's answer Rashi.
Okay.
Rabbi?
Yes.
You gonna use this to answer the Rashi?
1 second. I didn't get the hold on.
Rabbi.
What? What's my? You don't trust me? Wait, hold on a second.
Really?
Yep.
This idea you can really use to interpret, you know, the Medrash when the Tanayim saw the Shulam walking in the Mikdash.
Yeah.
But the choir, they keep a laugh.
Yeah.
So really, that could be the idea. You should learn the Churbana. The reason we say it exists is because even the Churbana, it reflects the concept of Hashgacha.
Yeah, he's right. Shmuel's right. That Chazal is a perfect Chazal. Perfect Chazal that demonstrates that idea. That Rabbi Akiva, when they saw that the Shualim were going out of the base Kachi Kedashim. By the way, that's the one last chicken. What does it say? What does it say? It says...
Well, there's
Hilchu, Bob. Hilchu. What's this in Hilchu and Hocho? No, it
isn't? They were led.
Exactly. Because the Goyim forced the Shualim through the base Kachi Kedashim. Not just the Shualim that went there. Worse, Shualim Hilchuva. But the story of Akivan, and then it's Chazem, so Akiva laughed. They cried, and Akiva laughed. Why? Because it says, just like the Nevuah of who? The Nevuah of, what? Of Uriah. The Nevuah of Uriah, exactly. Just like the Nevuah of Uriah was Mekoyim, so the Nevuah of Zechariah would be Mekoyim. Right? So what does it mean? It means to say that's it. It means Churban and Churban and Nechama are one. Churban and Nechama are one. See? It's one entity. Churban and Nechama just shows you one thing. It shows you that the ear, Yerushalayim, is not destroyed. Can't be destroyed. Okay. Now, the difference between Eicha Aleph and Eicha Beis, wasn't it Eicha Aleph and Eicha Beis? It's a matter of accent. Because there's two things in the Churban. One thing in the Churban is the city. That was the object of the Churban. So you talk about the state of the city, how the city feels, so to speak, the tragedy in terms of the city. That's one, like a city, like a person. The other thing to talk about is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, cause of it. But the two Eichos are really just a matter of accent. Is the accent on what God did, or the accent is on what the city received? But you can't have one without the other. It's impossible. That's why in both of them, there's both. See? It's just a question of mainly the first one is Yerushalayim. But then, it brings in also, because he says, Lo alechem kol lo v'derech, habiturum yishmachov kemachov yasher ololi, asher hogar Hashem biyom charan apo. Then once it says asher hogar Hashem, then it starts, Mimorim shal cheshbats mosai, nisket al pshai, silach ol abirai. So it goes through, because without the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being the source, you miss that, then there's no chum. You can't just talk about the city. It's both. You can't have one without the other. It's both. But the difference between the first eichel and the second one is whether the accent is on the city or the accent is on a kadosh baruch. That's the difference. Now, so then in eichel one, of course, after that, after it talks about a kadosh baruch, so now it has the second component. It starts off with the city. It starts off with the first eichel has to be the city. First eichel has to be the city because that's where a person's emotions feel. To go right away to a kadosh baruch is not possible. First, you have to sense the tragedy in terms of the ear. Then it says Perso Tzion Biyadel Eimen Achim La, and in Yud Ches, what does it say? Tzadikim Aroshim Ki Siu Marisi. Okay. Now that's Tzedek Aden, and everyone is Tzedek Aden. It's an amazing thing. There's always Tzedek Aden. Like for instance, in Dalit we were doing before, Vayigdal Laochum Madan Hashem Bachutas Hey Vov Vayigdal Avon Basami Mechatas Dom Hafucho Kmo Roga. Right, 1 second. I made a mistake. Yud Gimel. Mechatos Neviyel Avonos Kohanel Hashofchim Bekir Badam Tzadikim. There's always, every time there's Tzedek Aden, there's nowhere, I maintain there's nowhere that anyone, that on the contrary, if you look through straight, it says constantly that we deserve it. There's no question about it. As a matter of fact, Tum Asa B'Shulecha, what does that mean? Tum Asa B'Shulecha Lo Zoch L'Achrisa. Tum Asa B'Shulecha, she says, it means it was open. It was clear why the Avera was clear. Right on her garment. Lashon Gnai, Dam Nidus. Nikar B'Shule B'Gudea, Kol Machata Osel. Gluyin, Habe. Asrason B'Gilui. There was no question about it. Anyway, I hope it's almost clear to say that. That there's a Chorm without the... It's an amazing thing. Because people don't understand it. Why? Because the moment they think that it's justified, then they say, so what are you mourning for? So what are you mourning for? Because they think, the only time in the morning something bad happens, but this was just. The answer is not, it's no Tata Bisasri. That's the whole idea of Akina. Akina is not a Tata Bisasri. Even though we deserved it, and there's no question, Tzadikot Hashem Kefiyam Arisi, but the fact is that it doesn't take away from the tragedy because the city is gone. That is the tragedy. Now, it's not a personal thing. It's a matter of anyone that has a feeling for that idea of what the city was and what it represented and what it reflected and what it meant, has to feel the anguish of the loss. You see, that's what the keenness is. And then it's not a question of how could this tragedy happen to these people because they didn't deserve it. No, they deserve it. They deserve it. Tomaso Bishulah. But the fact is, the tragedy is because you long for that. You long for the city. It's longing for that state. Longing for that state. That's the one. Oh, you're left to the Gadin. Everyone has to the Gadin. Chait Chate Yerushalayim, Akinu Nidara Yasa, you don't go too far. By the way, I'm doing Nidara, that means moving. Doesn't mean Nidara. Chait Chate Yerushalayim, Akinu Nidara Yasa. Straight through. There's no question about it. That's why those guys that write these things about the Holocaust with Tainus is just clearer. That's not Kinnis, it's clearer.
Ready?
Yep.
They've written some new Kinnis about the Holocaust?
Yeah.
There's never
Tzedek Aden.
As a matter of fact, Rosenfeld, you know, this guy, the English guy, as a matter of fact, he asked the question.
Yeah.
It's not even, forget about Tzedek, but he asked the question, how could these righteous people die?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he asked the question.
Yep. And they said, like, I think the Bubba also wrote one, and Schwab from Breuer, none of them mentioned any Tzedek Aden.
Yeah. That's all fair. I hold you. Now let us say, let's get this. That's one of those. There's no, every one of these things, it says openly, and many times, straight through. Yep. Question number one. Oh. 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 Oh Nipi, nipi, yeah, this is what is the pasuk over here. Nipi, nipi elyon lo seitze haroz vatov.
Right.
That's open. That's what the Rambam says. God doesn't do any evil. Nipi elyon lo seitze haroz vatov. Nach pasuk, where's that at? That's in the end?
That's in pasuk lamechaz in Perek Shlishi.
Pasuk lamechaz. And that's why it says, my yisoni elam chai, gevo chato. Nach pasuk durachin evanach kov, and Yeshua ala Hashem. That's it. Nisa Lavino complain about Kelishman. No complaints. Anyways, complaints is just crazy. Okay. Now, the thing is like that the okay, so that's the idea. That's between the first Echa and the second Echa. Now the second Echa. One second. Now what do you have now? The first Echa, second Echa. Yeah. Now the question, let's get back to the question of Rashi. So the question of Rashi was that why did Rashi choose this pshat? We said it's a difficult pshat, right? Why did Rashi choose that pshat? He should have chosen the other pshat. The other pshat was that it was written later.
Right?
In terms of the people, it was already destroyed.
In terms of what?
In terms of the people, it was already destroyed because they were such sinners that they weren't living according to that idea.
My question is, why did Rashi choose that pshat, right? Because that's a difficult pshat. He should have chosen a pshat that said what? That the kinnah should be written afterwards, right? That's the question. Okay. What's the answer? Wait one thing. He's got it. Good. Next. Good.
Ready?
Yeah.
Maybe you could say that they already had abandoned the ideas at this point already, so it's considered as if it was destroyed already in terms of the people.
Consider it was destroyed already.
And it's hard to say
because
it still has a
substrate. I think it's like this. We're saying that this city partakes of eternity, and that's why the city doesn't have the same requirements for existence as a regular city, in terms of how it relates to a substratum. Okay, how it relates to a substratum. As long as she's coming back, it continues to exist. Now, the thing is like this: the Churban HaBayis, it's a law. You see, it's a law in nature. In other words, the whole thing of the Churban, the year b'Churbono and b'Binyono, is all, it's like a law in nature. It follows a certain law. It depends upon, its existence will return, but it depends upon certain conditions, and its destruction is a fixed law based upon the conditions of the people. That's why the Siddiq Adin. So Rashi says, Rashi likes that pshat because what he wants to show you is like this. It's not just an account of events that took place. These events represent eternal laws with regard to the city. So it doesn't make any difference whether it was written before or whether it was written afterwards. The reason why a person isn't a sabel until something happens is because who said the event was going to happen? You know, a person is only a sabel when the event takes place. But this Tana that said it was written before, he says that's no kasha. That a person only is misabel afterwards. That's when it comes to particular events. But over here, where the events are part of a system, an immutable system, an infinite system, the laws are that this is the way it exists. It exists. There's nevuas ulya, nevuas zechaya. It exists b'chorbana, or it exists b'binyana. It's all part of a system. Depends upon how the people act. But the nature of the churban and the destruction is all a part of. Is all a part of the eternal Ashgacha. All reflects the eternal Ashgacha and God's eternal relationship to the city. So that being the case, it doesn't make any difference. As a matter of fact, Rashi preferred the pshat that it was written before, so you don't think this is just a sefer that's written about things that happened to take place. These things didn't happen to take place. These things took place as a part of an eternal system. That's why he chose that shot. It was written before. The Dafka was written before. You see. Okay. So now let's get back to Echa. So what is Echa? So you have Echa 1 and Echa 2. Right? Echa 1, Echa 2. Let's say if you have Echa 1, Echa 2. But what about Echa 3 and Echa 4? How's that work? Okay. So what does Rashi say? Take a look at Rashi. What does it say? Echa 3 and Echa 4.
That's the,
Aniyah
Gever is the personal element.
Okay, Aniyah Gever, he says, was the personal. Was the personal. Okay. And then, what happened to Echa? What's Echa 4?
Well, it was already part of the original.
Part of the original. So first of all, it seems strange that it shouldn't have been broken up that way. The way to break it up would have been to do what?
Right.
To have Echa 1, Echa 2, Echa 3. And then, Echa 4 should have been Aniyah Gever, the personal.
Right.
It's a strange formulation where we have it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What we have to know is, what is Echa 3? Before Aniyah Gever, what is Echa 3? What is Echa 3 about?
What do you mean by Echa 3? You mean the third?
Rashi. See Rashi?
Yeah.
Rashi says there were three Echos written with Aleph Beis.
So you mean paragraphy then?
Paragraphy.
Okay.
So what is paragraphy? What is paragraphy? Okay. Do you know? You have an idea? Here's Rashi says. Take a look at paragraphy and Rashi. Let me see. The ima chiber besocha kina shor b'nei tzion. Okay, right?
Right.
So Echa Yuam Zov is really a kina on Yoshio. Not interesting. Kina Yoshio. And then you have, and then Echa Gimel is the personal, right? Okay. Now the question is, it's very interesting. But what is the kina on Yoshio? That's one of the kinas that you have. You see, if you take a look at Kaliya, right, the Kenneth say today, so he follows, of course, he follows Echa LeBarok. And, you take a look, he has, he did the same thing like he did. In other words, he starts off with four or five Kenneths about Echa.
Right.
Shavas, Sumani Shmuni Ochrai. And then the second one, Echa Atzav Yapcha.
Right.
La'abed. Right? I'm just thinking of something.
Echa Eli Kronanu.
Second. Echa, I think you have Echa Atzav Yapcha La'abed Adon. Echa Ga'ato, that's two.
Right.
Then just the second three is what? Adat Chuk Shemayim, Aleit Shemayim. Esoni Mi'itin Roshi Moyim. Go eat the Kobani voice, Egram Shema Balabani
Surgeon.
Echo Sephati Rashosa Yishlichu. Then you have. I'm not sure if that was it. Then you have Yishon there. Also, we're not going to go to Yishon. Echo Yishon Hatzel Hatzel Hatzel. And then Echo Lakan Melav. Okay. It's interesting, I'm trying to figure out more of it. But it seems like this. If you take a look, Shavasu in many, you see, I told you there's two themes in the Echa. One is the city, and the next one is God. Right? Shavasu in many Shmuni Ochrai is really the city. Right? It's the city. We're talking about us. Then Echa Atzta is God. That's like the second Echa. Now, then it goes back to the, seems the next ones, 1, 2, 3,
1, 2, 3.
Well, then you have Adar Chug HaShemayim, no? Yeah, Adar Chug HaShemayim, right. Avaka Iti Olos, okay, I don't know. But that's definitely 1 and 2, that's definitely 1 and 2. Now, but then he goes on, and then he comes to Echa Eli Konu Me'elov, right?
Okay.
That's why Konu Yimiyol Yoshio. Because that's Echa 4. That's Echa 4. That's Echa 4. Got it? Okay.
Yeah.
So, Vayakone Yemiyahu Yoshio. That's the whole story with Yemiyahu and Yoshio. All right? So, it's an interesting thing. Interesting thing. So you take a look. What was the story with Yoshio, really?
You spoke about this.
What is that?
You spoke about this on the Hesped for
Rebellion. Yeah. But the, right. Now, the story with Yoshio really was a very interesting thing. The Gemara is the Gemara. So take a look in the Kina. It says like this. It says, Echa Eli Konanu Me'elov. Okay? Eli means a Kina. Alright? Now, his language is very hard. So like this. Then Shmona Shana Echa Lidrosh Me'elov. So 8 years old, he was a Tzadik Gomer. It's an interesting thing. He was born, when he took over the kingdom, so he took over, he was 8. He was a kid. And his father was his father was Amon. Let me see. Get me a new dose from there. Grandfather was Russian. Grandfather was his grandfather was Russia, and then his father was Amon, right? The Avodah also, but he took over when he was 8 years old, and then you have the story, you know, the Haftarah where. He went to the base of Hashem and they found the Sefer Torah.
Right.
But he was a Tzadik Gomer. It's an interesting thing because he says he was 8 years old and he was already looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was like a philosophical type. I'll show you because the thing is that what does it say? When did they find the Sefer Torah? I'd have to find Sefer Torah so a person could follow the Torah. But how old was he when they found the Sefer Torah? No. It was more. It was 18 years into his reign. 18 years into his reign. See? And, 18 years into his reign. And that's when he discovered the Sefer Torah. So he was 26 already. But the Pasuk says, see? Ben Shloshim and Diriyon. Ben Shmona Shanam Yoshiova Mocho, who Shloshim Lachas Shanam Moch Yushalayim. But Yasa Yosha Ben Hashem. Okay? Uvishmona Shonim Lamocho, when he was reigning for 8 years, which means he was only 16. Ruo Denu Nar, Hechel Lidrosh Lelokei David Aviv. See? Uvishtem Esrashana, Hechel Ataris, Yidu Rishmaim and Abamos, Vashel Vapsimu Vamasechos. Vainatu Afanavis, Nizbuchos Abolim Vahamonim, Asher Lamaila Mealem Gidea, Yashelim, Vayizrak Opneak Farma Zelchimlem. And he burned up the Atzmos of Kohanim, Vayetaris Yudav Yishalayim. Amazing. And then, Vishnas Shmona Esra Lamocha, Lataris, also by Sholach HaShofim Ben Atzalya, Beis Maiseyo, Sar HaYir, Beis Yoch, Ben Yerah Amatsky, Lechazik, is Beis HaShem Lekov. So they went to Chukiyo HaKoyen, and they went into the Migdash, and then they found the Sefer Torah. They found Sefer Torah. Rotsim as a kesef mugashem matachil kiyeru akoin a sefer Torah Hashem biyad Moshe, and he says sefer Torah matosi, and they brought it out, and he read it, and he read the sefer Torah, and because of that he said he called for chukiyeru shofan, and he said chudushos Hashem badi avar nesh b'Yisrael Yehuda, so he kigdol lachamas Hashem ane ashenit chavano. I'll call a shelo shama vasin as dva Hashem. Lassos call a kasa vasefer zeh. It's an amazing thing. So you see, he was 16 years old when he. It says, but when he was 16 years old, he was heichel lidrosh asher Hashem. How did he do? He didn't know anything. He didn't have a sefer Torah. Nothing. So what's the answer? you see that apparently he was on his own. He was a very he was like a velvinum. He was able to be derish or kim me'ilov, just on his own, philosophically.
Were Tanach Chachamim in his generation?
Apparently there was no communication between them. It seems there was no communication between them. But because of Menashe, because of the reign of terror, and Menashe and his son. And there were people, there were Talmidei Chacham, of course, because there was Chul HaNaviah. But he was just, when it says Heichal Lidrash Yisrael, it means that he was just, that he was whatever he knew, and philosophically, he was able to realize the Avodah Zarah is nothing. He destroyed all the Avodah Zarah there. And then it wasn't really 10 years until he was able to get a Sefer Torah. And then he read the Sefer Torah, so he said that, I think it says in the Melachim that he taught Kriya. And then it says, Yelechul Ki Yeo V'Hashem Melech El Chulda Neviyah. And then she gave him an answer. She said that,
It says he
tore his clothes. Excuse me? So you see that he was philosophical, because when he was 16 already, he was starting to think. And then when he got the Torah, so he knew, when he got the Torah, he knew that it's true, and that's when he knew about the bris. Before that, the person can't know such a thing philosophically about the bris. But the moment he heard Sefer Torah, he's recognized, and he says, G'dol l'cham es Hashem, eshen et chavon, al shal Hashem ol ha-sein es dvar Hashem, l'asas kol ha-kotzo l'sefer azir. So philosophically, he perfected himself before. And then he got the Sefer Torah, he recognized that it was true, and he saw that that's from. So then he sent right, and he said, go to Chul Garavir. Apparently before that, he didn't know. He didn't trust him. I don't know, just on the way he was apparently a big chacham. As a big chacham, that person doesn't accept anybody. He was in that society. The Nevi'im didn't have a good name, and he was just Doresh Me'ilov. But then when he read the Torah, he saw that it was true. Then he saw this justification, there's such a thing as Nevi'im. And he said right away, he said, go to Chul Garavir and find out what the Dvar Hashem is. So she said that God said, I'm going to be Mevi Ra L'Makom Hazeh, all the Olos HaKsuvos of HaSefer, because they left me, they abandoned me, they went after the Avodah Zarah, but because you are a tzaddik, so you're going to die in peace. That was the Nevoah. That was the Dvar Hashem that he received from Chokiyahu through Chul HaNaviah. You see. So then he took out the Sefer Torah, read in front of all the people, Sefer Bris, and Vayichas Bris of Nei Hashem, Olachas Hashem, Lishma Mitzvosa, Vedvosa, Lachukov, and he established a whole new reign of reign under the system of Torah. And then he had the Pesach, the Korban Pesach, and it was an unbelievable thing. But then all of a sudden, one thing went wrong. One thing went wrong. He was a tzaddik gomor, a philosopher, a thinker, and he came in contact with Torah when he was 26 years old, and he reigned after that for another 26, 36, 10, 13 years. And then he made a big mistake. What was the mistake? The mistake was Vayishlach Elov. Now what happened was that the Chazal explained it, but what happened was that So Paro Nachor wanted to go do battle with Karkamish, which was on Prus, which means he was in the south and he wanted to go to the north. So the Gemara explains in Tainus that what happened. He said like this. So he sent Malachim to Yoshio that he wanted to go through his land. See? Wanted to go through his land. But he wouldn't let him. Yoshio wouldn't. Why not? Because Yoshio said like this. Yoshio said that So Yoshio said, no, I'm not going to let him go. And why isn't he going to let him go? Because it says in the Avtochos, the Chelev lo sava ba'atzachan. He says, Mali, Yishlach melech Yehuda. לא הולך עד היום, כי הרבה סמוכנתי ולכים. ולכים אמרו לבעלני, חדו לכו מאלוקים אשר אימי ואל ישחיסך. He said, he warned him, he said, don't start up with my gods, Paranachor said. So, מה אלוקים אשר אימי? אמר ויר מרב זו עבוד הזר. אמר, יושיו said, הו וכבוטח בעבוד הזר יחיל נלי. Since this Paranachor is so secure about עבוד הזר, I can handle him, I can take care of him, you see. Now, what was the mistake? The mistake was, why didn't you let him go through the land? Why should you jeopardize to human lives for that reason? So he dashened the Pasuk, Pasuk says, V'nasati shalom v'aret, v'cherev asav v'batzchem. So Chazal said, what does it mean? If there's shalom v'aret, of course it's not going to be any cherev. So let's say cherev asav v'batzchem. My cherev, really I'm a cherev she'en ishal shalom. You're going to say that it means war. V'kseh v'nasati shalom v'aret, there's not going to be any war. El afilu shel shalom. It means even a cherev just to pass through the land is not going to happen to you, because that's unnerving when you see people going to battle. That itself emotionally is disturbing. So the bracha was that you won't have any wars, and secondly, no one's going to even pass through your land armed. So he said that that's the case, so now's the time for that bracha, and I'm not going to let him do it. I'm not going to let him do the time for the bracha. But, so what was wrong? So Gemara says, "Lo'inu yedaya she'ein doro dome yasa." He doesn't know. He didn't know that his door really wasn't on a level. See? That's what it says in the. That's what it says. See, that's the rule. See? That's what it says in the Kina. It says, "Benecham ba'avram." Benecham means Mitzrayim. Benecham ba'avram chano olav. V'lo husker lo sigui mif'olav. Okay. So. Yeah. Lo huska lo sigui mifalov. It means to say that even though he was such a tzaddik, it still didn't help him. Now look, interesting. Gam b'chol ha-melochem asher kamu ligdor, even among all the kings that arose in order to ligdor means, of course, to be ligdor, yes, Yisrael, means to fence them in, means to keep them in line with the Torah. Lo kom kamoru mi mos avigdor. Who is avigdor?
Moshe
Rabbeinu. So what does it mean? It means he was the greatest one since Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not possible. He's greater than Yeshua Ben-Nun, he's greater than anybody else. But what it means was, in terms of the, that's why they call Moshe Rabbeinu avigdor, because he was the one that took the Jews from Mitzrayim, from Avodah Zarah, mamash, and he made them into Klal Yisrael. Now Yoshio did the same thing, because Menashe, that was the worst time that ever happened. So he brought them back from the worst period. That's what it says. Gam kam lochom kshakam ligdor. Lo kom kamo mi mosa zigdor. You see? Then it says, Dovad bo avon leitzoni hador, asher achar hadeles, kumu lizdor. Asher kam achar hadeles lizdor. What does it mean? It means because he didn't know that behind his back they were really doing Avodah Zarah. Yoshio. So therefore, what happened? So therefore he made a wrong calculation. He made a wrong calculation. But Chazal says that what was the mistake? What was his mistake? He made one mistake. He should have asked Yirmiyahu. He should have asked Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu, where did Yirmiyahu? Did Yirmiyahu warn him?
Yeah,
go out. Well, that's something else. Yeah, that's the other Yirmiyahu, yeah. But I think that the Chazal says, and the Echikash is a steer, because the Chazal says they didn't, so he didn't ask him. He didn't ask him. Yeah.
Where is Limlach?
Where is he? Go on to Limlach, right?
Yeah, Limlach, right?
Yeah. Hold on, Limlach, where is Mara? He didn't ask the Shava. So what does it mean? He made one mistake. The mistake was that he didn't realize one thing. He was a big tzaddik and a big philosopher and a big chacham, but he didn't realize one thing, that he wasn't ready to engage the Ashgacha. He should have asked the Navi. He made a judgment without asking the Navi. That was his mistake. It's an amazing thing. You see, that was the chet of Yoshio. That caused the whole tragedy. That's caused all tragedy. Caused the Yashgacha, you see. That's part of what we're saying here. In other words, that the tragedy is... You see, we're dealing in Yadis, you're dealing with an objective system of reality. And there is a system there, and God gave us the guidelines to the system. But if you make a mistake, it could be it's not such a big chait in terms of a personal chait, but that's the way the system works, so you can cause the greatest tragedy. I mean, it's true, okay, he should have assumed, oh, that's the worst chait in the world, that's why he has to get killed. But the pshat is, it's working with certain laws that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established. And there is no hashgacha on that level at the time. There was no hashgacha on that level at that time. It was his job to find out that fact. He made a mistake. He made a misjudgment. Because on his judgment, everything was destroyed. His whole malucha was destroyed. You understand what I mean? So it's not just that a person gets an onesh simply because of the maisa vera. There's a certain system working objectively. If you make a mistake, then the person can be destroyed. It could be that it wasn't so bad. It was a tzaddik gemar. As a matter of fact, it says, the gemara says that when he was dying, so Yirmiyahu bent down to listen to what he had to say. He wanted to see if he was boi b'isurim, if he was angry at God. And he said, no, tzaddik lo Hashem kifi marisi. He realized that he made, that's a big level. He realized that he made a mistake because of that miscalculation. He was destroyed, and therefore Yirmiyahu he said, Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem. But he was really the Mashiach Hashem.
Rebbe, the exact same thing, or very similar thing happened by Shaul, where his original sin, the reason right before the thing with Amalek, was that he was supposed to wait for Shmuel to come back to be Makom the Kavanos. Because the Plishim were coming up to war, and he didn't wait for him, and the Radak and only the Plishim stayed over there was because he didn't have faith in Ashgaba. He took it into his own hand to bring those Karbanas. He was supposed to wait for Shmuel to come up before he brought the Karbanas. And that's why that's why Shmuel said that his Mavlaka won't be Waka War anymore.
Yeah, but What you see from this is a whole different outlook about chait. You understand what I'm saying? That's an important point. That chait, everybody always thinks that chait goes by how bad you were. It doesn't necessarily go by how bad you were. There's a system that's operating out there, and the system, if there's no hashgacha, there's not going to be any hashgacha. That's it. And even if your miscalculation is not a terrible chait, you made a miscalculation. But the fact is, there's no hashgacha, and therefore it'll be destroyed. There's an objective reality. The only thing is that God gave us, through Torah, he gave us the method of working out properly what to do within that objective reality. But if you make a mistake, it could be tragic. A small imperfection could have catastrophic results. That's why there's not Hashgacha, but his mistake was he was killed, he was destroyed. But you see, he himself was destroyed. As a matter of fact, he was destroyed horribly. He said, there's so good cover. Hundreds of arrows went into him. So it was one small mistake, but the fact is that's the reality. The ignorance is the most dangerous thing. The ignorance is the most dangerous thing. Why? Because he misjudged the Yashgacha. Now, this is not the kind of a chait that people think is so terrible. Finally, people think, he's a kofer, he's not from, he's chazer, this. But this is on the contrary. This was a mistake on the from side of Moshe. Because what did he say? He said, v'cher lo sal v'atchem. Rosh Baruch gave avtacha. Not going to happen. And that was, and he was so confident about the Ashgacha. He was overconfident about the Ashgacha. So you see that the chait, that either way, is a serious mistake. Either way, it's a serious mistake. If a person is overconfident, he thinks the Hashgacha is there when it's not, it's just as bad as if it could be just as catastrophic as the other way, where a person doesn't negate the Hashgacha, where he fails to recognize the Hashgacha. Either way is bad. Either way is a chait. Chait means missing the mark. That's what it means. You have to, the person has to be on target. It's an interesting thing. But actually, the thing, the whole Churban HaBayis, really, with the whole story with Tzidkiyahu, really. What was the thing with Tzidkiyahu? With Tzidkiyahu, Rashi mentions the Rashi over there in Devarim brings down the Kaliyah. Yeah. It brings down Kaliyah. Now but the Chayit of Tzidkiyahu, that's what the Vayikone Hamakonein Al Yoshi Apostle Kovel Hamakonein Al Yoshiyahu Shalom Nasa Lanes. He wasn't saved. That's it. Now he says that, the Lo Shama, see, the Lo Shama, the Pasuk is Lo Shama, the Divrei Nechom, and Pilakim. Shama, and Pilakim, Kichena, Sechsachti, Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim. Is there a Shiesa, the Kalir? Kala, Hamunah, Lelechas, Ram, Narayim, Laman, Lo Sava, Cheref, Kol, Shu, Bafrayim, the Lo Shama, the Chosu, the Shuva, Chorayim, Kinig, Zerah, Xer, the Sachsech, Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim. There's a Stira. Because in one place it says that Yom Yor told him not to. In the other place, the Gemara says he didn't ask him. It's a stira. But anyways, that's it. Okay. Now, so the same kind of a chait you find with Tzidkiyahu also. With Tzidkiyahu. Because really, with Tzidkiyahu, Tzidkiyahu was responsible. The final destruction was because of Tzidkiyahu. Destroyed because of one thing. Because he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. See? Agam b'melech Nebuchadnezzar morar asher hishpio b'lokim. Okay, so Chazal says, it's an interesting thing, that the Pasuk calls Tzidkiyahu Rasha, but Chazal says Tzidkiyahu is not a Rasha. They said he only had one bad thing. That says, V'yas Rabbeinu Hashem Lekov, lo nichna milifne yimiyo anozi mipi Hashem. That was his only chait. Now what does it mean, lo nichna mi... Yeah, no, but it doesn't have Yumiyo. Okay. Yumiyo Malachas. I mean, it goes up, but you have to get the right one for
it. How about
where? Lamachas. An interesting thing. I mean, this fact is what's responsible for the whole Churban. Tzidkiyahu, Kol Amar Hashem. Where is that pasuk?
Yudayim.
So where are you dying? Here it is. Come, Hashem, okay, so okay, so. In Yotzo Seitze, El Sori, Melech, Bavo, Vachoiso, Nafshecho, Voir, Azos, Losi, Sorif, Baish, Vachoiso, Vachoiso, Ato, Vesecha. Then Losi, El Sori, Melech, Bavo, Vinitno, Azos, Biara, Kazdimus, Rafu, Baish, Vato, Losi, Molet, Miyado. See? So Yumiyo told him basically, in no uncertain terms, what did he instruct Tzidkiyahu? Surrender. Surrender. He told him surrender. That's what he said. He said, "Imyotzo seitzel sorry malach bavel v'choisen avshecha." Surrender. Don't fight. And lo seitzel, you're going to fight. The city's going to be burnt and be destroyed. And you're not going to escape. So Vayoma Melech Tzidkiyahu Yumiyo Ani Doi Gefei Yehudim Asher Noflo Lakazdim Pen Yidnu Osi Biyodim Es Aluvi. So he was worried that they're going to capture him. So it says Vayoma Yumiyo Lo Yitenu Shema No B'Kol Hashem L'Hashem Yidover Lecho Yitav B'Kol Eschim Afshecho V'Moy Nato Lotis Ze Adov Asher Ani Hashem. And then he says that basically that he's going to be destroyed. He says, "Vato was more young. Keep yad nevach bubble to tough face. That's why he was host to shuf beish." So he didn't listen to him. So what happened? Because he didn't give in. Because he didn't surrender. That's why the mikdash was destroyed. That's what else it was destroyed. An amazing thing. That's what caused the destruction. So really, it was a tzaddik, as I'll say. Tzidkiyahu was a tzaddik. It was not a Russian. But He just didn't listen to him that wanted. He could not surrender. And because of that, the city was destroyed. It's an amazing thing. So what do you see? So you see over there again. How did he sin? He wasn't a chote in the side of the... he wasn't a chote in denial of Ashgach, on the contrary. He thought that he's going to be able to succeed. But the Ashgach was it. That's it. It wasn't going to work. So that's the same idea, the same. You see, that's why I say that it's a situation that these type of questions are the questions we have today. I mean, of course, you'd like to blow the Mosque of Omar off the bias, but the question is, can you do it? That's the question. The question is, Yoshio thought v'cherav l'sav ba'atzcham. He thought that he could do it. But he didn't have the Navi, he didn't have the Navi. And because of that, he was destroyed. So the policy, it's an interesting thing, but it would seem that you cannot do anything, and that's why I said Pshat Neshuos is, you can't do anything that doesn't make sense perfectly rationally. Because you don't have a Navi today, you can't ask the Navi. There's nobody to ask. So that's why you can only do that which is rational. So you can't just go around destroying the their house of worship if you think politically it's going to cause a tragedy.
Right.
That's the other kind of a chait. That's the other kind of a chait. And that was the chait of Tzidkiyahu. What was the chait of Hochhorn was because he couldn't surrender. He couldn't surrender.
Right.
Then he wanted to fight. Yeah.
But wouldn't you say that it really must reflect the level of a nation, that one sin by Tzidkiyahu couldn't cause a whole nation to perish? It was rather that his sin reflected the chet of the Torah.
In other words,
because Tzidkiyahu made that mistake, or Yeshayahu, that would cause the whole nation to be destroyed. Rather, the nation was on a level such that they were ripe for destruction, and this was the final... It's hard to believe that the whole nation is destroyed because Tzidkiyahu made a mistake about Ashkara.
Well, what do you mean it's hard to believe? What does that believe?
Well, I'm just saying, the whole Torah could be a door of Tzidkiyahu, and Tzidkiyahu makes this one mistake, and they get destroyed when you...
Look, there's no Ashgacha, that's it. It's not out there. I mean, that's the way it works. So you have to realize...
The door of Manasseh was completely out there by the Zohar, and they didn't get destroyed,
but... You can't rely on Nisim. Yoshio was a Tzadik Gama, but he wasn't safe for an ace. You can't rely on Nisim. There's a practical reality out there. It's not... That's the point. The point I'm trying to make before. That there's according to Yadus, there's a practical reality out there, and the Torah is the guide that you could use in order you don't get harmed by the situation. But you can't expect just because there the tzaddikim expect Nisan, that Hashem is going to save them. You don't know the Hashgacha. It's unfortunate. Tzidkiyahu made a mistake, and the whole city was destroyed. If he would have listened to Yirmiyahu, it wouldn't have happened. All those two wouldn't have had an echa. He would not have had an echa. Yirmiyahu was begging him not to have an echa, and he would listen. Because he thought he was right. He thought, we can't let the people down, and maybe he'll be successful. And he was a tzaddik. He was a tzaddik himself. But that emotion he couldn't overcome.
The number of psukim indicate.
I'm trying to show you is that a person can be a chote in both directions, and the churban of bias, strangely enough, is because of the other direction.
The number of psukim in Perek Shlishi that indicate what you're saying, that the chait ve'onesh is really the exact system, like the lamed gimel.
Yeah.
Opino mi libo, a yaga of an age.
Right.
Rash says mi libo mersono, fi ha'olon gari. I mean, that's an exact system. It came directly from the Yavon, also in Lama's class.
That's right. It's a system.
It's not that. It's not necessarily a direct answer to the level of the chay.
That's right.
Natural system.
You cannot say, there's no such thing as it's a completely childish, infantile idea. To say that because there were tzaddikim over there sitting and learning, that's why God's going to protect them no matter what tzaddikiyah does. That's craziness. You have to, a person, there's a reality, and a person has to work with the reality. And if a person doesn't work with the reality properly, he's going to be destroyed. That was Yoshio. Tzadik Gomor. Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem. Can't be a big tzaddik. By made a mistake, that's it. The chait, the whole Tisha B'Av, when did the whole Tisha B'Av start, really? It started by the chait Nim Raglim. The chait Nim Raglim.
This connection's obvious anyway.
What? I'm sorry, what?
Betty was saying something.
I was just saying, when you started, you said you made an observation with the current political scene in Israel.
Right.
Yeah. You want to elaborate on that connection there?
The only point I'm making is that the question that like, for instance, I mean, the positions of certain parties that we should be able to, we should do anything that we wish to further the benefits of Klal Yisrael, and that God will be with us, is absolutely false.
Yeah.
That's the, that was the whole thing with Yoshio and Tzidkiyahu himself. Tzidkiyahu himself, which caused the Chorban. He should have retracted, he should have surrendered. And because he couldn't, that caused the Chorban. But whenever a man assumes that he knows the Ashgacha, he can do whatever he wants, and God's going to protect Klal Yisrael, he's inviting destruction.
Yeah. So the same thing about the schus of the idea of people learning yeshivas is a schus for the rest of the nation, and therefore they're doing as much as being in the army?
That is, I mean, Torah is the biggest schus, but when there's a war, you have to go out to battle. And you have to, it's a practical reality. We believe in a practical reality. And it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reality, and God wants us to cope with this reality and to act rationally with that reality. Where we have Nevuah, so we have an added benefit in terms of our in terms of the information we have. Well, we have none of war. We have to just use the our rational abilities. But anyone that thinks that there's no reality out there, and if a person is just going to sit in the room and say, tell them there's going to be a tzaddik, that the miracle is going to happen around them, is not, doesn't believe in Yadas. That's not Yadas. There's no such thing. But that Yoshio's mistake was a mistake he had on the side of you might say descriptively, on the side of religiosity, on the side of Frankite. But it doesn't make any difference. Once you make a mistake in the reality, you're opening up yourself to tragedy. And could be the chait wasn't such a serious chait, but the onus was terrible because there's reality out there. Now, what a person, what a man has to do is to avail himself of all the knowledge he can in order to cope with the reality. Yes? This is the nation. But he was a tzaddik. They said he was a tzaddik. He wasn't himself. He was a tzaddik. As I say, he was a tzaddik, so he can't argue. But that type of tzidkus is false. Is wrong. And that's what I meant about the parties, certain parties in Israel. That type of attitude is incorrect. And that's really one of that's the shruas of the Ishpat Yisrael ben Eretz Yisrael, the shruas in the end of Ksubas, where it says that we have no right to be morei b'umos olam. That's what it means. It means just to say that we're going to fight the whole world and God's going to save us, you're not allowed to do. Because we don't have that Ashkacha. The Hashgacha will return in the future when Yerushalayim is rebuilt, and we look forward to that, but at this point it doesn't exist, and to make a mistake about the Hashgacha is a very dangerous thing. That's what Yoshio did.
Insofar as the destruction by Nebuchadnezzar, was it totally based on Tzidkiyahu's error and nothing to do with the state of the people?
Well, it wouldn't have been. No, you can't say that because there's not just one man in the nation. I mean, anyone, you have any idea of sociology, you know that it can't be one man. I mean, the whole nation works together as an entity, as a fabric.
Right.
Even a king. I mean, a king is king of what? He's king of people. He has subjects. He has to interrelate with them. He depends on them. So there's a mutual dependency there. I mean, of course there was. It shows something wrong with the whole society.
They wouldn't have been destroyed.
No, they wouldn't have been destroyed. That one thing precipitated the destruction.
Precipitant of their whole situation.
Right. The exciting cause was his mistake. That was the exciting cause. That was the immediate cause. Immediate cause was created the destruction.
I see.
But, Rebbe?
Yeah.
I mean, there's 400 years of history where the nation was sitting and there were a lot of kings making mistakes. They didn't get completely wiped out until this point.
Yeah, because there's a reality. Because there's a social reality. And this was the reality where destruction was possible. And other reality is not. It's not just people that you're sinning. It's not just people. It's not such a simple thing. People just think that God just looks down at people and sinning. He zaps the sinners and he gives rewards to the good people. And if there's no reality there's no reality in the world. It's crazy. That's an infantile notion. It's a childish notion.
It's reality.
We don't believe in such a thing.
It's
a reality.
A
person could be a chotei and nothing happens to him. Nothing happens to the people. It's not so simple. It's a pusher thing. You understand what I'm saying? We only know a certain mind, so we know certain things about about reality. They didn't wind up with their bodies like a sieve.
I told you that. Is
anyone
a
bit more fully? That situation is a different reality. That guy's there for five of his. I said, let's fucking work out the other way. Well,
that's something else. I'm just saying that, but that's not my point. Now you're talking about Ashgach again. I'm trying to show you that there's a concept of reality, an objective reality. Yoshio was a Tzadik Gomer. He was a Ruach HaPein HaMashiach Hashem, was a Tzadik Gomer. But it didn't help him, because there's a reality out there, and if a person makes a mistake, a miscalculation, he subjects himself to reality, and there's no Ashgach, and that's it.
Yeah. It's no different than the normal physical reality.
What?
It's no different than a normal physical reality.
Exactly. Well, it is a physical reality.
Right. Okay. Same thing. A smaller result and tremendous consequence.
Oh, right. Yeah, sure.
That's all.
Sure. It's not that it doesn't go by how many... It doesn't go by how long you daven Shema Esrei. I mean, it's a simple sense of idea. That's not what this holds. It's part of it. Perfection is part of it. But perfection is supposed to result in an individual who reacts to reality properly. And that's why, if you make a mistake, then it's the person will suffer, has to suffer the consequences. Such a thing as suffering the consequences. That's what Yoshio. Yeah, it's true. Yimyo was upset that an ace didn't happen to him. But that's it. An ace was not going to happen. It's just like the Meraglim, by the Esed Chet of Meraglim, you had the Ma'apilim. What was the Ma'apilim? That was a chait in the opposite way, in the way of Ashgacha, where they said, no, we're going to go, and now we're going to go, we're sorry, we're going to tshuva, and we're going, and we're going to conquer the land. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, lo salu v'lo silochamu, kein Hashem b'kirbechem, lo sinok v'lefnei aveichem. And what happened? They went, and they were destroyed. Same thing. It shows you the people only think of chait in terms of like you don't have enough Yerushalayim. No, that's not true. That's one type of chait. There's the opposite emotion too, where the person has an overly amount of false Yerushalayim. You understand? It has to be false, because of but I'm just saying. But in terms of Yerushalayim, you describe it as he's overly from, he's overly confident, over tremendous betachin. Most people think if you have betachin in anything, that's correct. No such thing. It's nonsense. That's the Ma'apilim, not a tremendous betachin. They said, now we're going to go, we're going to fight. But no, Tashkacha wasn't there. And that's why they were destroyed. They were destroyed. The Yadis demands that a person's on target. The Torah perfects the person and makes him into a Chacham. And if he really is perfected, he will always listen to the voice of Chachma, and then he'll always be on target. But if he goes off, he has to suffer the consequences. There are consequences. There are realistic consequences. The chait of the meraglim. In the meraglim, really, you see, the meraglim couldn't have only been a spying mission. That's for sure. What's the raya? It couldn't have been just a mission to spy.
The fruit.
Yeah, because no, when you go to spy land, you don't bring back fruit. So you see that there was another purpose, and that was really where the chait was, because the Chazal say ani matlam shitova. But apparently they wanted to see it. They wanted to see it themselves. There was tova. But if you look at Parsha Shlach, see an interesting thing. You'll see that the way the mission was set up was really totally rational. There was never a demand on them to fall in love with the land for no reason at all, just to look at Eretz Yisrael and just to say, wow, this is the land, we have to love it. No. They asked them, what kind of a land is it? Hashmeinu Yimraza, Yesh Beitzim Mayin. And the sea, is it the climate, the country, practical things to see whether it's a good land. And they came back, what they said? Tova, it's mud, it's good land. If you take a look at Parsha Shlach, there isn't a mystical thing there. Everything is set up exactly, precisely, logically to discover
what the land is in terms of attacking. That's one thing, and then also in terms of characteristics for living and for the practical things for living. What kind of land is it? And the chait was never demand on them that they should just have a mystical love for the land. It was purely they should rationally conclude that it was good, and they did say tov haaretz Hashem. But they said the only thing they said was efes ki azam. But they concluded that it was a good land, and it was done with chachman. They said, "This is it. God said it's good. It's good for agriculture. Agriculturally, it's good. It's good for living on. The climate is good. Everything's fine. That's it." But the mistake was, the chait was when they started to go in the other direction. They started to say mystical things about the land that were no good, like Eretz Achelos Yoshveha, like. They were drawn by their emotions. They saw people dying, so they started to assume the climate's no good, people die here. And that was the chait. The chait was when they started to follow their emotions, they got distorted and they followed their emotions. But that was the chait, and then the chait was the other way. When they went the other way with the Ma'apilim. And the Ma'apilim is an important thing, because see, Moshe Rabbeinu repeats that Ma'apilim thing again in Dvar, in yesterday's Parsha. Because what he's trying to show is that either way, either emotion is no good. See, and that was the mistake of Yoshio. That was the mistake of Yoshio. Either direction can be catastrophic. And that's why the Meraglim was really the prototype. That was the Tisha B'Av. That was the first Tisha B'Av, was the Meraglim. Because the Meraglim was the chay where they went, where there was emotions were both ways in either direction, and that was the destruction of the Migdash through Tzitkiyo. Now the interesting thing, Rashi says on Yoshio, Rashi says that by Yoshio it says the Yakoning Yimiyo al Yoshio, so it says. That over here, like Kanye Yoshio, Chafei, right? So Rashi has an interesting thing here. Is it goes to the question, we're trying to get back to the question of what of the third Echa. That's Echa Dalet, right? Okay. So it says like this. It says, Chafei. Vayakonin Yemiyo al Yoshio. I mean, give it on Beis Chafei.
Oh, fine. I want to say.
You got it?
Okay.
Paraglamahe. I'm slipping. Beis Lamahe. Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Beis Lamahe Chafei. All right, get it straight now. Dibayon
Beis Lamahe Chafei.
Thank you, Taco.
Hey, Taco.
See, it was Vayaviru Avar of Chavdal, Vayaviru Avar of Benamar Kofa, Vayakru Avarach of Mishnah, Vayakru Shlaim, Vayom Sikavar Kavar Kavar, Vachol Yehuda Yisrael Mis'ablam, Vachol Yehuda Yisrael Mis'ablam al Yoshio. That was the thing. Vayakonin Yim Yal Yoshio, Vayom Ruchol Hashon Rashor Spikino Seyem, al Yoshio Ad Hayom, Vayitnum Vachok, al Yisrael Vayinam Ksuvim al Akinos. You see? So take a look at Rashi, Vayitnum Lachok. Wasn't it Vayitnum Lachok? Interesting Rashi. He says, Kishem is Damin Lahem Shum Tsar Uvachiyot. Shem Akonim Ubochim Ala Ma'oro. Whenever there's an event that they mourn, Heim Maskirim Zea Tsar Imo. So they maskir this Tsar of Yoshio together with that Tsar. Dugma, an example. Betisha B'Av. Shem Maskirim Kinos Ala Harugim. Big zeros she'iru b'yameinu. Amazing Rashi? He says, the dugma is that on Tisha B'Av you maskir the kinos for the people that were killed by zeros that happened during our times, Rashi saying. Kein yifkiyun al yo mos yoshio. It's unbelievable, huh? Isn't that amazing? So what does Rashi say? It's an interesting thing. And this became part, that's why I said, all kinos follow exactly the prototype. There's one kino, that's Echa. all the rules of Hayim Akonin is Necha. So the in Eicha you have like this. You have the fourth one actually is what? Is Yoshio. That's part of the formula. That whenever you mourn a Ma'ora, so Yoshio became is a part of it. Rashi says, just like on Tisha B'Av, that you mourn the Harugim that happened during our times. In his times, he's saying. It would seem from Rashi clear that you'd have to say something about the Holocaust. It seems openly. Of course, he says you have to mourn the Harugim that happens to be a Menu.
All right, so I have to write a good Kina.
It's an interesting thing.
Is it ready?
What?
That the fourth parak, you know, is the parak which includes really all the tragedies of Jewish history. The Dugma is by Yoshiyahu, but really that's an example that it represents the idea that you know once you mourn all the tragedies of the rest of Jewish history.
Doesn't say that. No mourn all the tragedies. It just says that the day of Ma'orah, Rashi, all it says like this. It says that Vayesimam Lachok, that Yoshiyahu, the death of Yoshiyahu became a chok, which means, Rashi says, what does it mean? It means Kishimizdami Lam Shum Tsa Vakhir Shim Makonim Vokum Alamaura, Hey Maskim Zer Tsarima. That's what it means. It means the Tsar of Yoshiyahu must always be mentioned. Amazing thing. And Rashi says an example of that is that on Tisha B'Av where you have the Ma'orah, so you mourn also the other losses. The losses of the other Harugim.
What does that do with Yoshio?
What?
What do they have to do with Yoshio?
Apparently, that's a good question. That's a good question. That's a very good question. Well, we have to understand the first rule. What's the first rule? But you see him in L'chok. You have to mourn the death of Yoshio. It's an interesting thing. Vayikoni Yimio Yoshio. That's the whole paragraph. That's the whole paragraph. What's the idea over there? Why do you have to do that? Kinnis.
Hey.
The what?
That you have to recognize it as an objective reality and as a system and you have to try to uncover you can't go beyond that. You really have to define what the system is and then you can act.
You mean because Yoshio is specific?
Yeah,
that's a prime example. Perfect example is the tzaddik, like
you said. And he went
too far. Yeah. Yeah. You can see the prime example.
Yeah.
You see, the thing is like this, that he, really, the Yoshio is a prime example of tragedy. Why? Because the truth of the matter is the name was the Tzadik Gomer. And the Tzadik Gomer, it's his last breath. Ruch HaPenim Yashir Hashem. That's what Yemiya said. It was the Tzadik Gomer. And the tragedy, that's why I said the whole idea of the Kinnis is not who's to blame. It's not a question of blaming. We know that there were Tomas Bishlo was a Chataim and everything. But the tragedy is that we're missing that reality. We're missing the reality of the ear of the Shechina. We're missing that reality. That's the tragedy. And in Yoshiyahu, the Yoshiyahu, it means that you mourn the death of a tzaddik. If a person dies because of Avera, so you can't mourn his death because mourn is a Russia. But here was a case where the man was really a tzaddik gomer. And he made a mistake, okay, but the chait wasn't such a great chait that would change his character. So, but it's because of the fact that reality took away Yoshio. Reality took away. We miss Yoshio. That is the Yoshio exemplifies the height of tragedy. The tragedy is what you're missing in terms of the relationship with God. And Yoshio was a person that really brought off Klal Yisrael. What does he say? That's why he says, "Well, come, come, Mimos Avigdor."
since Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the person that brought back Klal Yisrael to listen to the Torah. So he reflects, his personal tragedy, the loss of Yoshio, reflects the tragedy of the whole nation. It's really the same thing. It's actually the same thing. It's a part of the tragedy of missing the whole system. That kind of, the tragedy of Yoshio is part of the tragedy of missing the whole system. Because he was a tzaddik, and because of his loss as a person as a tzaddik, and because of his role insofar as the Klal Yisrael was concerned. As far as Klal Yisrael was concerned. Such a tragedy is so great that you must, when you speak about the Churban HaMikdash, you have to speak about Yoshio. When you speak about the Churban HaMikdash, you must speak about Yoshio. It's the same exact thing. It's not just the Churban HaMikdash, it's the Churban, it's the loss of individuals that were capable of bringing Klal Yisrael to recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yoshio was such a person. Because, unfortunately, because of the reality that he miscalculated, he was lost. That's why he's a tragedy that must go along with the same kind of mourning as you're mourning in the loss of the Mikdash. That's why it's woven into Eicha. That's why it's Eicha 4. But what happened to Eicha 3? Go ahead, I'm sorry. Mitch, you go ahead.
Our full sense of security is not a good thing. Wasn't that really his error, his transgression?
Yeah, it was.
That's all fits into this parak.
I didn't hear the thought.
I can explain why this parak discusses Yoshio, because that's exactly what his transgression was. And that's
what's necessary in order
to be able to warn the
Korban,
to recognize it.
Great.
I'm trying to give a different answer why this parrot.
Okay, well, you
got to
talk a little louder.
Trying to give a different answer why this
parrot
has Yoshio in it.
Okay, go ahead.
Because he started out by saying that this parrot discusses that there's an idea of a false sense of security. And in order to, you have to overcome that to be able to mourn the Korban.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really Yoshio's error as well.
That's good. That's a very good point. An excellent point. That's good. Yeah, obviously, because that's the idea, that's why that parak deals with the full sense of security. Because that was Yoshio, that was part of Yoshio's mistake. That's very good. Yeah. And it's the fourth parak, yeah. Fourth parak in Echa. Okay, that's the fourth parak. Now, the question is, that takes care of Yoshio. Now, it's interesting, what does Rashi? And Rashi says that the same thing is true on Tisha B'Av. They have to mention the people that died, B'Yameinu. Well, how does that work? Thing someone mentioned before, I forgot, was it Michael? I forgot. It means to say, That the Churban Abayas, you have to bring in also anything that has to do with the destruction of Klal Yisrael in our own times. That's what it means. That's what it seems to say. You can't. That's what Rashi seems to say. You bring in things that deal with the factors that are destroying Klal Yisrael in our own times. Transkin kinas alayugim b'gzeros she'iru b'yameinu. Kein yifkin al mos yoshio. And that seems to assume that it's a commonplace. That's for sure, because since you're discussing Churban HaBayis, so any tragedies that tie in with the Churban Beis Hashem is part of it. Have to mention as part of it. And that's why we even say things from hundreds of years ago. Because there really is one Churban.
What's to do with Yoshio?
No, he's saying in the same manner you always mention Yoshio. That's what he's saying. And that's why in Eichon, he's just saying just like on Tisha B'Av, you bring in the deaths of the tragedy that took place before, because this is all part of the Churban of Beis Hashem.
Right.
So therefore, in the same manner, when you have a Yom HaMo'orah, you're always going to mention Yoshio.
you should mention those Ludoros also.
Which Ludoros?
Like all the things
that
be
Rashi
mentioned,
that
should be like
Yoshio. Apparently, that 30 minute was accepted. Rashi doesn't say that.
Why is that?
The only reason I would say it's so is because of the fact that that the churban that occurred with all those in all those generations affects us today also.
So you should say that.
It's funny because the Mikdash relates to Yoshio and the Mikdash relates to our, but the three of them don't all relate.
What do you mean?
There is the Xeris happening today. What's the connection to Yoshio? Nothing.
It's not a connection to Yoshio.
You have to mention all the tragedy.
In other words, once you mention the tragedy, the Moreh, you have to mention the tragedy of Yoshio. That's one.
Okay, the Moreh is Mikdash. Now you have to also mention Yoshio.
Right. And then also, you have to mention the tragedies of the current.
For a different reason.
Yeah, he's saying just like, Dugma, just like
there
was Yom
HaChol. I thought there was a conceptual connection here.
I don't think there's a conceptual connection between the two. And Yoshio is a separate thing.
Okay.
We would have to mention Rashi's Kenneth Salsa.
Well, Rashi doesn't say that, but I'm just saying apparently the minig was that you would do. Because apparently it's viewed like one long gullus and we're suffering from the losses. All through, their losses that affect us too.
Yeah, it should just like Yoshio, just like we mentioned Yoshio, even though that doesn't affect us.
That's what I'm saying. It's a myth, what? Shot the 12 people once in Athens, Greece, so the rest of it's also part of Tishbav. It's also part of Tishbav. That's Rashi. Exero Shinasi Yomeno. It's all part of Tishbav. It means all the things that are a tragedy for the nation. But Yoshio stands out, I would say like this, that Yoshio stands out as a classic tragedy for the nation. But there are all, in other words, it's a tragedy for the nation because of who he was, and the time that he lived, it was a classic particular event which was part of the tragedy of the nation. But whatever happens is always, anything that's a direct tragedy is of course a tragedy for the nation. But yes, you know it's not current, it still remains as a tragedy. But anyways, Dalit. That's Dalit. That's Aleph Bey's Dalit, really. Now, the question is, what is Gimel? In Gimel. What do you call it? Tzidik Adin in the third one, too. Kilo Yiznach, Lalam Hashem, Lalam Hashem, Lamar Aleph, Lamar Beis, Kim Hogov, Richam, Kurov, Chasodov, Kilo Inu, Mudu, Vege, Pnei Ish, Udake, Tachas, Ragov, Kolosi, Earth, Vatos, Mishpat, Geva, Nege, Pnei Elion, Vave, Sarim, Briva, Hashem, Lalo. Yeah. So what? Right. So that's the third one. So the third one is Anir Gever. So that was the personal one that Rashi says that he added, right? That you may know that he added, right?
When did he add that one?
He added that one after the Churban, seems. When he saw the Churban.
After the Churban actually happened.
What does Rashi say there?
After he burned the Megillah?
Oh. No, I don't think he did that. What does Rashi
say,
Rashi? Is Rashi on the first one Rashi Necha says?
Yeah.
Michael?
You actually
witnessed his destruction. He was
another witness of destruction, right? Everyone else spoke about it, but I'm the only one who
Right. Oh. So now, what does it mean? So it means like this. What it means is that what we said before was that the city exists. The city exists as long as it's going to be rebuilt. That the city, then it continues to exist as an entity. If it's not going to be rebuilt, it can't exist anymore. Okay? Now, the thing is that why is it that the city will be rebuilt? See, the city will be rebuilt only because of the fact that the people mourn it and desire to see it reconstructed.
You understand what I mean? In other words, that's what the Gemara says. That kol mishina ab misabu Yerushalayim ain't of the zochav robin achamasa. Why? Because it's an impossibility. It means to say that the person that mourns it, that desires it, he's the one that really gives the binyan Yerushalayim a. He's the one that gives Yerushalayim an existence, b'chorbana and the binyana. Because that's the person from whom the city exists. Do you know what I mean? That's the person from whom the city exists. So actually that's what kinnis really is. As I mentioned last time, that kinnis is the last. Kinnis is the thing that keeps the city alive. Because basically the city is destroyed. That's it. But now the kinnis means that you're relating to the fact that it's destroyed. It's like it was destroyed yesterday, and like you're missing the avelus on the avelus of it is what keeps it in existence. The avelus, because when a thing is destroyed, the only thing that's left is the way the people who perceive that thing exist. Do you know what I mean? Like if a person dies, so he's gone basically. Now the only thing that's left in relation to him is the people, insofar as they mourn him. But once they stop mourning him, then there's nothing left anymore. Then it's gone. Now the existence of the city is dependent totally upon the fact that the people mourn the loss. That's why it has eternal existence. And the mourning is only, that's why he who mourns Yerushalayim will be zocher to see the binyan Yerushalayim, because he's the one that gives it existence. That gives it existence. Now, that's an Iyagever. An Iyagever is his personal, His personal mourning. It's a personal mourning of the Navi. It's of course the highest mourning. But the personal mourning is what gives the city existence. So that's why it's organized this way. First you have the first Echa. Echa Aleph is really what? Is really the Echav and Beis are really the same, actually. But it's a question from two standpoints. From the standpoint of God, or from the standpoint of the year. Of the entity of the year. But it depends on what you're focusing on. But that's two different kinis. But the concept of the year, that the year is eternal philosophically, is established in those kinis. The first kinis, especially, established the idea that the year exists philosophically. Now, what causes it to continue to exist? It's the personal mourning of the people. That's three. That's an Iyagever. That's what substantiates. That's what causes it to exist. Then he added the fourth kina, which is the kina of Yoshio, which is another idea. That the mourning for the tzaddik, is something which must always accompany, whenever he's always, the mourning for the tzaddik always accompanies the mourning of the ma'ora, for the chobna bias. So therefore, that's why that was added as the fourth. The Vaikonim Yal Yoshio. That you can't, basically what the idea seems to be, that the mourning for the chobn, for the base Hashem, can't really be. You can't have a mourning for the Beis Hashem unless you mourn for the tzaddik, who reflects the system as well. The tragedy of the tzaddik that reflects the system as well, and that's the tragedy. That was the tragedy of Yoshio, Tzaddik Gomer, and he suffered a tragedy. So you can't mourn the Beis Hashem unless you mourn also. It must be accompanied the mourning for the tzaddik. That was really. That's Echa Dalit. That's why it's precisely in that order. Because the mourning for Tzidkiyo is considered an extension of the mourning of the Mikdash. But the Ani Agever is really the personal, which is what causes actually the ear to exist and to be rebuilt in the future. Want to say that?
Yes. Really? Seems not just to be talking about Yoshio, but it's talking in general about other calamities.
I know. They mentioned. They talk about that. It doesn't. But it's tied in. But actually, wrote it for Yoshio. I know. It's a good question.
Say that it's really referring not to, just to the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, but referring to future calamities and mourning over them as well. It's no longer in the morning, because that's already in the first two parking,
right.
With the morning over the base of Migdash. This is already other calamities, in general.
Well, it mentions him. It's not a whole thing just in Yoshio. Ruach HaPein HaMashiach HaShem Milka B'Shchisosom is a direct reference to Yoshio. Ruach HaPein HaMashiach HaShem Manu B'Tzilon Nechi L'Goyim. That was him. That was Yoshio. That pasuk is specifically. But he's included in it speaks about the whole destruction there also. But he's included. That's the difference. That's the difference in the fourth one. Mentions, of course, about the Chum. But it was specifically designed because of him.
Yeah, Rebbe,
interesting,
yeah. In the footnote, he says that the
Ibn Ezra letters
refers to
Tzidkiyahu,
Mashiach.
Is that right? That's interesting. Chazal
says Yeshiyahu. So it can go either. Aha. They'll fit the upshot too, because they both made a similar error.
Yeah, that's true. Tzidkiyahu made a similar error. Yeah, that's true. Made a similar error. Yeah. Now, if someone can explain to me what Ichla Hey is, I'll be very happy.
I mean, the passage says, "Kol Hashem Ayalano is Midas Rachamim." That the last link is our right to demand the restoration.
Yeah. Kol Hashem Ayalano. You mean it's actually so? It's Tula. You mean it's Tula?
Yeah.
The link to today, it's Tula. I mean, it culminates in Tula. Right.
Right. Yeah. We're standing in the same perspective as the Mishpala.
Yeah.
We're a creature, or we have a right to demand a rational, result.
It means to say that we're still in the same situation. Still in the same situation. Somebody, I didn't answer that question wrong. I forgot to answer the question. Somebody asked me, said, it wasn't the same people, right? It wasn't the same people. How come Moshe Rabbeinu gave them Musar? I forgot to answer that question. But the answer is that there is no doubt, even though they died out, but there is no doubt, it's an interesting idea, but Yadus maintains that a person inherits the chatoyim of his parents. Whether he wants to or not, he inherits part of it because he's influenced by them. It's impossible for him not to be influenced by the chatoyim. That's why it says, "Vesvadu asavonum vesavonavosum." A mechuyif to do tshuva on your father's parents. Why? Vonavosum? Because it's impossible to avoid it. And that's why 38 years, that was the whole thing of Eladvarim. Eladvarim was that Moshe Rabbeinu warned them. He says, you have definitely, the chatoim that your fathers did definitely is a part of your nature. And the only difference is that they couldn't do tshuva on it, but you can. And that's why he had them do tshuva before they entered Eretz Yisrael. That's why he had to give them tochacha before they entered Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise, they couldn't have entered Eretz Yisrael. That was also the tapchem ha-shamatim lavaziyah. It meant that they will succeed, but not so simply. Not succeed so simply. If you live with a door that did Averis, you have to be influenced by those things.